Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in to Cody and Gold.
Are you ready?
You are clear to engage.
Showtime!
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
There's been multiple days where barely get out of bed, but I went through a week last year where I couldn't. This is not sick, but I couldn't throw a baseball. I literally couldn't get my arm above my head. But I was playing outfield at the time, so I was able to. We were able to sort of hide me out there in center field, and I don't know what his excuse is. Maybe, with COVID and everything, I guess you can't really take chances if you don't feel good. But, I would encourage him to drink some liquids and just man up, get after it.
Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
We're manning up today, Cody.
You're back
in studio.
I was just getting you some advice for how to handle being sick.
Yeah, He's probably right, too. He really is. I got a few texts about it. I listened to it back as well. I'm bummed I missed the Whit Merrifield interview yesterday, but he's right. Can't wait to talk to him next Monday about it.
Last year. And by the way, do we have any follow-up questions about the...
Yeah, the arm?
Why they were just letting him play center field and he couldn't lift his arm above this? that feels concerning.
Yeah, when he puts it like that, I'm kind of like, well, damn. How am I not in?
Every player's a little different. Some players miss because Sammy Watkins, remember when he was on the show last year, was telling us I got to learn to play through some of these injuries. You're the Sammy Watkins currently working your way towards the Whit Merrifield of everyday play.
It would have been problematic throughout the show yesterday though. So I think you should thank me. It was a good decision on everybody's part. We're good to go and good to be back in studio. And I wasn't avoiding talking about the Royals and their 8-game losing streak. I needed an off day too, I guess, just like the Royals needed one. And can I get back on track tonight? We'll certainly talk about that as they are in Detroit. And, Denny Matthews, we'll hear what he had to say yesterday with CDOT in about 30 minutes, because he says, you know what, this might be the perfect time to be catching the Detroit Tigers. He had his specific reasoning for that. We'll tell you what that is coming up 30 minutes from now. But the rest of the month, you've got 19 games left in the month of May. You're 1-9 to start. We know you're in the middle of an 8-game losing streak if you're the Royals. What's the rest of the month potentially look like? Nothing has changed in terms of how important. In fact, it's just increased in terms of the divisional opponents. We know what the schedule was. It was full of divisional opponents except for the Brewers, who are coming up next week. And then you got one game against the Pirates to wrap up after Memorial Day weekend and everything. And so, or on Memorial Day, excuse me. So nothing has changed in that regard. What's the salvage month look like? Can we just start with a week? Can we say what's the next week look like? Because I think what we learned quickly
salvage
is
week.
After an 8-game losing streak, it is impossible for me to advance 19 games from now and say we can bank on this. We were talking about the beginning of the month. You can't bank wins because you just don't know. Baseball's weird.
No, I didn't think you could bank eight losses in a row, though.
Look, we thought they could come back down to earth, but the quickness that it happened was what was so jarring to so many of us. Is okay, yeah, they weren't going to be a 102 win baseball team. They weren't going to go and lead the AL Central all season long, but just how quickly they fell off the cliff here. Now, how do you get yourself back up? And so for me, it's just look at it as a week. They got three against the Tigers, three against the White Sox, four against the White Sox coming up. On those, honestly, the way things have gone, it's really about the Tigers series, and then can you split with the White Sox in the four over the weekend? Honestly, that's where I'm at for this week. Like, let's stabilize things a little bit. Can you find a way to win the series against the Tigers? You've beat them four times already. And then can you stabilize enough to where over the weekend against the White Sox, perhaps you can split that? And then you kind of, all right, take, you know, you took a deep breath. All right, you're back. You're kind of back in level. Forget about what happened. They need to do that for me to feel good about the final at that point, what, 12 games or so of the month.
I know you would think, like, generally, you're like, well, I mean, there's, you know, they got a lot of divisional opponents who just beat the hell out of them, right? Swept by the White Sox, swept by the Cleveland Indians. And that was right after coming off that first series against the White Sox, where you're like, finally, already 1-1, got the same number of wins against the White Sox you did last year. And you're like, now it's 1-4, not awesome. Four games upcoming this weekend. If it ends up 1-7, it's the identical situation as you were in last year, as far as we go. But I would say if you look deeper into the schedule, and it depends on if you're an optimist or not, of those 19 games you mentioned, 10 of them are against teams below 500. Several games below 500, mind you. Six of those games are against Detroit. We know they stink. One of those games is against the Pirates. That team's six games below 500. And three of those games are against the Twins. That team is eight games under 500. Now, I know that that team also beat you two out of three in a series that was lopsided really for all three games. Brewers are barely above 500, similar to the, you know, they're a few games better than the Royals, but not way better. Tampa Bay, the same thing. White Sox are the only team that has just beaten you down over and over again that you've got on the schedule where you're like, yikes. The rest are doable. Salvageable to me is how I probably would have felt coming into April or coming into May going into the year, which is, can you be at 500? Like, can you just play 500 baseball, which I now feel like is a really low bar considering where we were just a few games ago. But I'm not trying to, like, catch back up to how do you get six games above 500 again, because in a 19 games, you got to play 13-7 baseball. And right now, based on the way this team is playing, that seems impossible.
Yeah, I know you asked the question yesterday. I wasn't here, but I caught that where you asked about will they get back to 500. I think the answer is absolutely yes. I feel very confident in that. They're not suddenly eight games under 500. They've lost eight in a row. They're not eight games under 500. So, yeah, I mean, they can have a successful series against the Tigers, and suddenly they're right back above 500. So I do believe they'll get to 500 again. Now, that's why I talk about finding a way to stabilize things this week, because if you get through this week and you've got the three against the Tigers and you've got the four against the White Sox, and we come back here next Monday and suddenly they've only won one or two, you know, one game out of that stretch of games, then it gets a little more challenging on whether or not you believe they can do that. But they absolutely can still stabilize things here. But yeah, just it was kind of, I think, not just a wake-up call, but also a reminder of what the expectation was for all of us beginning of the season. And we certainly loved what we saw in April, but also just a reminder of, like, it's a long baseball season and you're going to have these spurts. But
yeah, but it felt like they built up enough equity to not already be below 500.
Well, like, yeah, nobody predicted an eight-game losing streak, by all means. I mean, there was a chance by the end of the month, if I would have told you they would have been back to 500, you might have been like, okay, disappointing, but I could see it. It's just the fact that it happened in a week's time. For a full week, they didn't win a baseball game. So that's why it was so jarring. Now, what happens next time out for Daniel Lynch, too, will be a huge factor. He's scheduled to pitch this weekend against the White Sox team, the same White Sox team that beat him up, to say the least. Just a few days ago, Vern, our Royals insider, was on with Fesco in the Morning yesterday talking about whether he thinks Lynch will stay in the rotation despite that outing.
He's never really been one that I see coming out of the bullpen. Just so much going on with that delivery, so many moving parts. Obviously, it's difficult to repeat. So coming out of the bullpen, needing to get warmed up quick and coming out, I don't think that works for Daniel Lynch. I did enjoy Mike Matheny following that rough outing for Daniel Lynch, showing support very quickly, saying, I can't wait to see him back out there again. That's the kind of message I like hearing from the manager, especially after the 24-year-old gives up, what, eight runs and only records two outs. But in talking with Mike Matheny yesterday, their big concern right now is the way that Daniel Lynch is tipping his pitches. Can we fix that in a timely manner? Meaning, can we put Daniel Lynch back out on the hill as our starting pitcher in now 4 or 5 days?
And that's just coming up this weekend against the Chicago White Sox. The fact that it's tipping pitches is, you know, the better alternative than
the team that just destroyed him.
Well, I wouldn't like him going up against the White Sox, which he is, but the idea that if it's really is the problem truly the tipping of the pitches, which is what the Royals believe it is, that seems way more fixable than if it was something else. So that's where I'm like, okay, I'm willing to give it another go. It's just not ideal that it comes against the Chicago White Sox again. If he makes the adjustments, then yeah, you let him go out there for a third time this season. And if things go south again, then to me, you have to take him out of the rotation, and not just the rotation. You probably have to send him back down to AAA at that point in time.
If you're going to take him out of the rotation, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, just at his age and where he's at and all of the reasons, you would just then go back to Jacob Junis as a starter or back
Chris
to Chris Bubich as the starter.
And he was very good, as we know, out of in,
he
in,
was,
in relief.
But it's like,
no pressure, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, like, yeah, it's hard to judge someone in a situation when they come in the second inning of a game that is just a disaster anyway. There's no pressure to be good in that moment.
No,
other
pressure
than
not
just
to
be called back up. Yeah.
Yeah, pressure for, like, him personally
to keep the job.
To keep the job, and also to, you know, find a way to salvage the bullpen so you don't destroy it.
Sure.
He saved him in that regard. That was the only small bit of positive to come out of that baseball game.
I think that, like, for me, it's more about, like, and I just think it's, if you admit now, in a way, if you admit now that that was already a bad decision, then you really screwed this thing up. Now, I asked that yesterday. I know you were gone. But like, we talked a little bit about, like, if you could go back, you would not have switched Junis. You would have never made that decision. You would have just ridden out how the team, you would have just played the hot hand and saw what happened. And maybe Junis got his teeth kicked in a couple of times, but maybe not. We know that Lynch lost both those games. Now, the first one, you know, we've said before, maybe he could, you know, maybe could have let him get out of that fifth inning, and then maybe things go a little bit different, because that's when that game turned, and that's eventually when Cleveland got the lead,
right,
and everything kind of dismantled. So there is, like, it's that one really bad start with Daniel Lynch, but they didn't bench Keller after that. If you're making the decision to put a guy in your rotation, you make the decision to stick with it for a little bit. But no doubt that's when the problem started. When you cast a little bit of doubt, and I respected the move at the time, I had no problem with it. I understood why you would say, hey, I'm strengthening the bullpen and I'm strengthening the starting pitching. And I obviously have made my feelings clear about how good of a prospect I think Daniel Lynch can be. So when they put him in place, it kind of made sense. But like, if you could go back, you would clearly reverse that decision.
You would absolutely take advantage of the ability to do that if someone lets you hit that reset
reverse
button.
Time.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, there's no question. But the thing, of course, you can't. So they got to figure out a way to get out of that, and hopefully it's starting tonight with the Detroit Tigers and a team that they had success against. I do know yesterday, though, Seattle was talking on the drive, and he's blaming a lot of these losses on you directly. You guys, if you follow Cody on Twitter, and I know Serta and I certainly have seen it over the last week and a half or so, not as much here recently for whatever reason.
It hasn't been as good.
You were tweeting out the standings on a daily basis. CDOT says it's your fault. The losses are your fault because you've been posting all the standings every day.
This is just because people are trying to give me several false reputations. One, for the stuff last week during the snitch line.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Which continued yesterday. Someone added me again yesterday.
That's fair. You got to stop cutting lines at food establishments in KC.
And then, now, with somehow, by the way, they kept losing when I stopped posting the standings. So if anything,
yeah, but you
with the
you
argument
truly
be that if
all.
I posted the standings today and they win, I am good luck, not bad luck. You can't put it on me if I post them today, correct?
So now you're trying to say, so it's not luck. It's just that you intentionally caused them to lose.
No, I don't. That's not
because it's
I'm
one or the other. Well, that's what you said.
People seem like they had grown tired of seeing the standings, even though the Royals were the first place in all of baseball. They had the number one record in the American League. I thought this is a nice time to look at the standings and feel good about your Kansas City Royals. So I was supplying people that information on a daily basis.
You got to be consistent with
knowing that that was the case.
You got to be consistent in the good times and the bad times. You got to post the standings then. Are you in or out? You got to decide right now.
Today,
are you the rest of the season?
Oh God,
are you in or are you out?
Commitment.
Not just when suddenly they're back in first place, hopefully.
I'm just stuck with it.
Are you in or out?
Like, even if they're at like 62 wins with like 30 to go, I'm just stuck posting it still. I kind of like posting it when they're good. It's way more fun that way.
Sure it is. But you got to decide one way or the other. In or out.
Sir, do I have to be in or out, or can I just be in the middle? Sometimes people ride a fence. Why can't I ride a fence? Why can't I just be a homer?
Hey, is not good enough for you after every win? It's got to be the standings.
I don't post hey after they lose. I don't post LLLLLLLL in this case.
Don't start that. That won't turn out too well for you. I don't think that's the right call overall.
Yeah, it's got to be, you got to be like really hard on one side of the argument.
That's it?
Yeah.
Like, so I have to post the standings even though they're a game below 500 and
nobody likes a fence sitter.
This is not, I mean, I'm not saying, I just say I'll post 10. When they win.
913-576-7610. Jay Southland, Toe Service text line, says, hey, don't blame Cody for the Royals finally having to play real baseball teams and getting their ass kicked.
Yeah, see?
It's not ready to
put
it on you.
And by the way, they played, like, I don't know. It's such a weird, Like, what, you know what's really happened? Is the people who were performing well above their skis, like Nikki or Michael A. Taylor, yeah, have come back to earth a little bit. And then the guys who were supposed to be good aren't. Like, Soler and Dozier aren't. Like, that's the bigger problem. More than, like, my posting of the standings right now. I don't know why I don't know why I'm getting this kind of heat. Why am I always deemed? I don't own a Whit Merrifield shirt that I know of. My kid owns one, but they've had that for years.
Okay.
Okay. And he's not the problem on this team.
Nope, he's not.
I don't own. Brad Keller's not on our show. Like, there's a lot of things you could point to in the bad luck department. I don't know how we're catching the heat here. And Keller was better in his last start. Like, hasn't Whit been one of the most consistently good players on this team? So, like, him on our side, that should only boost our thing.
That's our show thing. You got this individual thing going on,
though.
The show's fine in that regard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're clear from Whit, but I'm not clear from the losses.
Correct. So we'll keep an eye on that. I'll be watching the Twitter feed, hopefully after a win.
I'm thinking about it. Maybe I should post the standings today?
A win tonight. We'll talk some more Royals baseball in about 15 minutes or so. George Brett was actually talking yesterday about what he thinks is going on with the Royals, what that is, and also what Denny Matthews had to say when he joined the drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio. Now, I did get a text not only about Whit saying that I needed to man up as well, but I got a text. Someone said you guys thought it was weird when I was discussing how I was going to move the Traeger. I finally got a Traeger over the weekend again. I was very happy about this.
Did you grill
on Friday? I did. I told you on Friday that I was looking forward to it, but it was coming on Saturday, and it was going to be in this like 140-pound package or whatever. So I was trying to figure out, all right, if I get a buddy over to help carry it or whatever. And I got a text from someone that said you guys were giving me crap for needing help on a 140-pound box.
Just figured you could shove it up the stairs.
What's the issue? Of course. What, you just carry 140-pound boxes on your own?
I can push 140-pound boxes.
You can lift it up 12 flights of stairs. Or 12 stairs. It's not really flights.
12 stairs.
I think I could figure it out.
How big's the box? Like, my arms can get around it?
No. The UPS driver struggled.
Not lengthwise. Widthwise.
Well.
No, it's still going to be a problem for you.
So I have these.
Yes, I could do
I have these
it.
Moving the straps.
Yeah, I'm talking straps or anything.
I've moved so many times over the years that I have like moving supplies, and so like I would use the straps. Like I would strap it. Up
I
don't have.
I would just push it on its side and shove it up the stairs. It's carpeted, right?
Yeah, there's how are you just shoving 140 pounds up 12 steps?
That's not, look, I'm telling you right now, I've moved heavier things up and downstairs before.
By yourself?
Yes. That are more awkward to move than that. I'm saying there's like, comes at a moment when you
got
to try first before you
ask for
help.
The box got
dropped
off in the garage at the apartment. And so I would have had to have been lifted up. There's like to get it in the doorway as well.
Into the garage, you mean?
No, from the garage
into
the apartment.
That's like what, a two-step situation?
But it's 140 pounds. And then
this is a two-step situation.
Anyway, so you guys thought it was weird. So how do you think I actually, here was the end result.
I assumed you built it and then you called someone to help you carry it up the stairs.
Yeah, so I ended up putting it together in the garage. That was an adventure in its own right. You guys would have loved
how
seeing
long
me.
Did that take you?
These are like apartment garages, right? So are they like, they're like separate?
No. Mine's
attached. His is attached.
Mine's attached.
Okay, yours is actually attached.
Yeah, mine's,
okay.
Mine's attached.
But so it's even weirder if you're just in a separate garage.
Mine's all enclosed or whatever. No, so the Traeger, I put it together in the garage, and yes, it took way too long to do that. And then, yes, that night, I was like, well, I called one of my buddies. He was out of town. Like, so I didn't do anything with it Saturday night. Then Sunday, I had a family member help me carry it, the assembled grill up the stairs.
Oh, no,
that was,
you couldn't
that was
even
a little
carry
mistake.
It up?
How would I, hold on. At once it's assembled...
With handles! It has handles, right?
No, I don't know.
You can't just pull from the handle, because here's what happened. A family member helped me, and one of us was towards the bottom of the stairs, one was on the top. The individual my sister, she was at the top. She pulled the handle out. I had to redo the whole handle.
Okay, so to be clear, I moved something last weekend as well. It weighed like 280 pounds, and I did have someone help me. It was my 66-year-old father-in-law, and we were fine.
Yeah, it got up the stairs. You're saying that I should have been able to carry a fully assembled Traeger grill up 12 steps on my own.
That's
no chance. No way. This is one I'll defend. This is not a me problem on this one. 12 steps, 140 pounds.
Just baby it up the steps, on right? Like put it on a step, then wait, it's got four.
Okay, so
put it on the next step, then go up the next one. What
the
are we
box
talking about
is one
it's
thing.
It's got four legs on it and the smokestack. It's not like you can just drag the legs up the steps. You're going to break the legs.
Not drag them. I'm telling you, man. You just like lift
well,
it up.
Well, that's what we did when I had someone else help me. That's what we did.
For the next step.
When I had someone else, that's what we did.
Yeah, I am with him once it's built.
Once
because
it's built,
like if it's in the box, I'm not as worried about like banging it around a little bit. But once it's built, you don't want to like scuff it or drop it down the stairs.
Could you have removed the smokestack? I was worried I was going to move dressers without taking out the drawers. Take out the drawers.
That wouldn't matter. There's like the grill grate in the tray isn't going to help on the weight that much. Okay. The actual
leave the drawers in.
The actual barrel.
Why? That's a terrible decision.
Do you tape the drawers or something? Because that's a pain in the butt when the drawers fly open.
I leave the clothes in, everything. We just move the whole thing.
Okay, I'm never helping you move. Reminded. Yeah. Thanks.
Anyway, it's upstairs.
Just leave the clothes
in? We just knock it out, all right?
Box the clothes.
Yeah, it's upstairs and it's good. It's on the patio now and it's all is well.
And you grilled?
But someone texted me yesterday.
I felt like
you
should have just been
crazy.
Able to push it up the stairs. I felt like it was crazy that you were going to have someone help you with that, yes. I would have. Did you try on your own? That's
try
what I'm curious about. Did you try to get it up on your own first?
I immediately decided to put it together in the garage.
Okay.
Because the box, just to put it together, you had to lift it a couple different times, and that was very heavy. We've all seen the combine. I got the one bench press.
But you're moving
up. I got the one bench press.
The
you
only
think
way
I'm
you're
going
to get to three is when you start doing stuff like this. I've told you, the only reason I finish in the top three of the bench press is not because I ever bench, because I do not. Because I like throw kids around or have to lift things occasionally.
Someone said they make dollies. Yes, they do. I didn't have one though.
I own a dolly. You could have borrowed it.
I would have drove all the way up to.
Well, that's the drive
time. I would have driven all the way up to Nebraska basically to go and get the dolly. I don't think so.
Come on, you know that I do not live that far north.
Something like that.
You know how I always judge people in the city. Like whenever we're having this conversation about like, hey, who like someone would be like, no, you live really far away. You're like, no, you live really far away. Is how many blocks past zero are you? Because that's really where we're making the judgment. I am 60 blocks past zero. You are 130?
Five.
Okay. So I feel like we've made the decision. Serta's like 30
just depends
blocks
on,
past
it all
zero.
Depends on where you grew up. If you grew up on the north side of town, then suddenly south seems far. For me, you seem way north.
I also don't think that that's really like an accurate way to look at it.
Why?
Pretty sure it resets or there's some weird thing. One's on the Missouri side, one's on the Kansas side. I don't think it all is even like that.
Counting it out from center.
Text line. Someone says there's a few. It's split. It's very split.
It's split. I just think you should try. Before you just give up and make your sister come help you lift it. And she was probably walking backwards, so it was more awkward for her.
Someone brings up a good point. I should have just taken all the pieces out of the box, carried the legs and everything else up the stairs. I still don't know if I would have been able to get the barrel part of the grill with the smoker box attached to it up on my own.
Now we're talking about 100. We're down to like 100 pounds now. 90 pounds.
Yeah, probably only takes 20 pounds off of it at that point.
Yeah, we're down to like 100 pounds, I think, if you take all those things off and then assemble it upstairs.
Someone wants to know when we're having a listener barbecue so we can taste these smoked meats to see if I can actually cook.
We're about to find out. You said you like to grill.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to Arkansas this weekend. Otherwise, it would have been rib weekend. We got our Cody and Gold road trip, which we're really excited about. This Saturday, Cody and Gold road trip down to Arkansas. We're going to see Bobby Witt Jr. play the Northwest Naturals, of course, in action. It's their actually opening weekend as well. And we've got our promo code up on our Twitter account, up on our Facebook page. 610 Sports is the code to use. You go to the Naturals website. There's also a link there. We got you discounted tickets. You want to click on Section 105, and we're going to be driving down Saturday morning. We've had a bunch of people also asking about, you know, what, you know, people wanted to ride together and stuff like that. So check the Facebook page. There's a few people that have messaged us and said, hey, I'm trying to drive separate. Does anybody else want to drive? So it's kind of cool. We've got a lot of listeners heading down there, and you get a Bobby Witt Jr. t-shirt if you use the promo code and meet us down there.
It's good to go. We got sizes up to XL, the E. Edwards workwear hooking us up with those. I personally designed it. I can't wait to go. And we already have some spots we think chosen there. Remember, I was getting some advice from Witt. I kind of want to hit up that Susan's place for breakfast the following morning. I'm not going to lie. Tempted.
Is that a Witt recommendation?
That was a Witt recommendation.
I heard about the shots place where you can throw the shot glass on the ground. I think they have that in Vegas, too.
We should probably do that. We should probably hit up shots.
Might as well. There's a Whataburger there, too, which I'm sorry. Definitely hitting that up at some point.
Either way, we'll keep you informed, both on the air, probably. We'll let you know on Friday the places we settle on, but we'll also tell you on the Facebook group just to let you know where we're going to end up.
Coming up next, what do the Royals need to fix the most, and what did George Brett think about the recent struggles?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The grand opening of the all-new F&B location now open at Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. And while you're there, be sure to look for the ultimate fan display and text in the keyword for your chance to win the ultimate baseball fan prize pack, including 4 tickets to see the Boys in Blue versus the Redbirds. How about a mini baseball tailgate grill along with a $50 gift card for all your tailgate supplies at your local Price Chopper, plus a $250 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. It's the grand opening of the new F&BO location, off of Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. 30 minutes from now, it's the Forum on a Tuesday. Bob Fesco, Fesco in the Morning. We'll talk with him about the Royals a little bit and just how amped up is he for schedule release day. I'm sure he's watching it nonstop on Wednesday night. Saying that very sarcastically. I don't think he's a big fan of the schedule release shows.
But it's kind of, well, I mean, maybe well, I don't know that I watch the whole show.
I know. Bink will be locked in.
But I like knowing what the schedule's going to be because then you get to start breaking it down in quadrants.
Everybody
and figuring
does
out, and not quadrants anymore.
Yeah, you can't, yeah,
it's, yeah. It's like 3 quadrants and a 5. God, there's stupid imbalanced schedule. It just made everything so like.
I can't do the 4 quarters of the season, technically. You can't. You kind of have to break it down a little bit differently.
Yeah, what's the saying there around football now?
Yeah. We just take this 4 quarters at a time, 4 wins. Yeah, yeah. But no, you're right. Everybody.
4 wins plus that one there at the end, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, just the worst.
And 1 hour from now.
Footballism is just dead, sort of.
One chain at a time.
One chain at a time. 1 hour.
Or 3 fives in a single, depending on how you want to do it.
Yeah. Yep.
There's not even like, it's a prime number. It's not even like divisible by something. It can't even be like 2/8, or it's like, you know, it's the worst.
1 hour from now, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk about the schedule release and the primetime games. You can have 7 of them this year, by the way. That's up. So how many primetime games could the Chiefs have, and 7. What are they? We'll try to guess those and mock the schedule a little bit in just a little bit. But what do we think the Chiefs, the Royals are going to need to do to fix this 8-game losing streak? Well, why not ask George Brett? George Brett was talking with Blair Kirchhoff over at the Kansas City Star the other day out at a charity golf tournament. And George Brett just says, you know, they got a case of the try too hard. So we've heard that before, right? And he says, I think right now the Royals are swinging too hard. They're trying to do more than they're actually capable of. When you're winning, it's easy because everybody's contributing. And now nobody is contributing and everybody is trying to be the guy to get them over the hump. As a result, you try too hard. I've always said, don't try harder, try easier, end quote. That's from George Brett about the Royals' 8-game losing streak. And if you do look at where the offense has been, and our guys trying too hard, I know you asked Witt a little bit about that yesterday. The Royals are 2-4 their last 29 with runners in scoring position, and then 12-75 in those situations over the past 10 games. And they're 1-9 in their last 10 games. So, I mean, what he's saying, it's not the first time we've ever heard anything like that by any means, but it the numbers back it up as well. Is it, yes, the pitching we've talked about it from the offensive perspective, is it now to a point where, especially with the deficits they faced early, everybody's trying to get the big hit. Everybody's trying to get the home run. Everybody's trying to be the hero.
Yeah. Witt said that he feels a little bit of that. Matheny had actually said with them in a post game that he doesn't mind. That means they care, right? Trying too hard means you care. I'm like, I understand that, but also you can't put that kind of pressure on every at bat, which is why I think the easiest way to fix this kind of losing streak is to have one dominant pitching performance so that it doesn't feel like it rides on it. You have two runs early and you get to maintain that lead through seven, and the pressure can go somewhere away from the bats for a little bit. Because I don't know right now the way that they are pressing at the plate, the entire team, mind you, I don't think right now they're going to put up a seventh spot in the second inning and we can just coast to victory. Because that's what they could really use, right? A coast to victory. But typically when these streaks end, man, you got to win some like 3-2 game. And if you're going to win some 3-2 game, that means you're going to need a dominant pitching performance in order to do it. The hitters are the bigger problem, but like the bullpen and the starting rotation is not giving them nearly enough on a nightly basis. Like Mike Minor, by the time he leaves the game, they're down multiple runs. Lynch got killed. Duffy, like Brad Keller pitched well.
Yeah.
By the time he left the game, it's 3-0, and there's only 3 innings left to play. And then this Friday, by the way, they're going to play 2 7-inning games. So you got to, like, the pressure's on even more early on in there because of the doubleheader. It's like, no, you need one, like Brady Singer tonight. One dominant pincher performance. Just give it to me, Singer. I know that's asking a lot from you, too. But at least I'm only putting the pressure on one guy, not nine. Well, I feel like that's what's happening right now.
It's one guy, Cody, but also the last time out, we know everything that was transpiring that night with the ejection and everything, but last time out for Brady Singer, he was fantastic. Brady Singer let things great. Get to him late. I get it, but he was fantastic. And that's why the frustration
the
built
Angel
up.
Hernandez because stuff,
that
yeah.
was all the Angel Hernandez game and the ejections and everything. And it's why there was a lot of frustration, too, because you had your pitcher and Brady Singer pitching fantastic, and you felt like he was getting screwed on a couple calls and certainly the hit-by-pitch deal and everything from a few nights ago. And so I feel good about Brady Singer being on the bump tonight. And Denny Matthews was on with CDOT yesterday, and they were talking about playing Detroit, and Denny thinks it's great timing.
Might be the best thing that's happened the way the schedule's setting up. As you point out, you go to Detroit. They were just in Detroit 2 weeks ago, and they swept all 4 games. So mentally, they have to know that they're superior to Detroit. You got to still play well, and they did in that 4-game series a couple of weeks ago. But they're still going to have to do that. They just can't go in there and roll the bats and balls out on the field and expect to win all 3 games there. You can't do that. So you have to continue to play well. But the other thing that's probably a positive is just a chance to get back on the road where they played well, get away from Kauffman Stadium for a few days, and just revitalize yourself on the road against a team that you did well against. And then you go to Chicago, and you know all about the White Sox, but you would be in a little better condition, a little better shape after you've done well in Detroit, and let's hope that happens. And then they're probably going to be in a much better position to compete and challenge the White Sox next weekend.
I mean, that's the hope of the mindset. And then we talk about to start the show with stabilizing things, take advantage of the Tigers here. Then you have the White Sox, who have owned you over the last year or so. But the Tigers, you do have that in your back pocket and in your mind. You know, and by the way, that 4-game winning streak over in the sweep of the Tigers on the road, that seems like months ago. It's only been 2 weeks, but that seems like months ago because of the losing streak. But that was, yes. Can we go back to those were the good times. You just beat the Tigers on the road, first 4-game sweep on the road.
First place in the American
since
League.
Since 1991, yeah. Was it, or 98, 99, whatever the actual stat was at that point in time. And certainly things have changed in a huge, huge way. The Royals are now 3.5 games out of first place, and they're under 500. But I think there is something to that where if you're going to reset things after a losing streak, the off day hopefully was a way to do that for everybody.
just take your mind off. We know that at least Witt and three other players went golf. Not two other players in Gordon.
Yeah.
Sorry. He was the foursome was a guy who's not currently on the team.
You get away for 24 hours and then you refocus. And it is against the Tigers team that you know you can beat. You know you're better than the Detroit Tigers. I don't think anybody
You know that. You are actually better than them.
And you own them for four games on the road. Now, that means the Tigers are hungry, right, and all that. You can play that angle up. But I do think there's some truth to that for the Royals approach heading into tonight. I mean, this is if the Royals lose this series to the Tigers, man. Then it's hard to imagine what the weekend's going to look like against the White Sox being a positive result at all. Like they need not just a win, which you can start there, but a series win against the Tigers. Like these are games, especially with what just occurred the last week. These are games you've got to find a way to get back on track with, and it does set up nicely. Like at least it's the White Sox, the Tigers on the front end of this. It's not like you're going to Chicago, then the Tiger. At least you do get the Tigers here to try to break up this 8-game losing streak.
Yeah, it's the right team. Like, it's the right team to go about it, which is, I guess, better than you can say. The problem is like, looming right behind it. Is like, this is, you know what it is? Like, it's already out of control, right? Because you've lost 8 games in a row, Gold. That's an out-of-control moment, right? Your team's already reeling a little bit. Like you said, if you lose the series to the Tigers, only have to back it up with 4 games against Chicago. A team, over the last 2 years, you are now, because the, what was it, 1-9 last year against them, or 1-11? They were awful. 1-11. 1-11 against Chicago last year. They were 1-1, right? Then they got a 3-game sweep last, over the weekend. So now it's 1-2-14 over your last 16 games against a team. Like, yeah. Like, like the only time to get right is against the Tigers. Because if it looms through them, Chicago's right around the door. And like then it's like, well, you could salvage it because like if you swept or beat the White Sox, maybe you would regain it. But then it's like there's just almost no recovering. Like there's no like, let's come home and beat the Brewers and Tigers and feel better about yourself after you've now lost, two more consecutive series in a row against both Detroit and against Chicago. And it's all of those things. And so it's just like it just builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. So, yes, they have to be careful about what it is against Detroit. I just feel like the only solution at this point is to get one dominant performance, because other than that, you're counting on the lineup turning it around on a dime, and that's not easy.
Coming up in about 6 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. Did you see the latest, though, out in the horse racing world? God. Did you guys talk about Bob Baffert yesterday?
We did.
Bob Baffert and his excuse media tour yesterday, claiming that some horse groomer essentially had cough medicine, urinated on the hay, and the Medina Spirit, the horse, ate the hay, which prompted the drug test, the positive on the PEDs and everything for the horse, and of course has prompted a review and everything like that. And so Bob Baffert yesterday, just to refresh everybody, this is what he said about the drug yesterday.
That specific drug is usually can be injectable, but the horse wasn't injected with that. We checked, make sure that nobody had any special creams. I'm learning about it right now. Nobody handled a horse had any creams or anything like that. So we just don't know where this came from.
Okay, so that was yesterday.
That's like the calmest clip you could have played from him.
Which I did that intentionally, though, because that was him saying he doesn't know where the drug came from. So then just moments ago, Bob Baffert, the trainer of Medina Spirit, put out this statement and said, following the Santa Anita Derby, the horse essentially developed dermatitis on its hind end. They had him checked out. The vet recommended some ointment. The vet recommendation was to apply it daily. The barn, I guess, followed the recommendation. It turns out this ointment, one of the substances in it, is the betamethasone or whatever the hell you pronounce it. That thing. So he's now admitting, while we do not know definitively that this is the source, now he's saying that, we did actually do it. We did actually cheat. We did have this before. You didn't know where the drug came from. You found out pretty quickly after yesterday's media tour backfired on you.
Yesterday he was saying he was being sabotaged.
I don't know if I was sabotaged indirectly. I think it could have been somebody handled this horse, touched it, because at those levels, it's very minute. It's at a level that it wouldn't affect the horse. And it's scary. They're scary levels because I've had this this problem before.
Oh my gosh! He was saying he was wrong.
But Cody,
I thought it was
cancel culture yesterday.
Churchill Downs came out with that statement that was pretty harsh, and I think they had to just it's with all the noise going out. We live in a different world now. This America is different, and this it was like a cancel culture kind of a thing. So they're reviewing it. I haven't been told anything. We're prepared to run.
So you try to pull that card on the horse testing positive yesterday. And then again, fast forward 24 hours later after yesterday backfired on him, because I don't know if you thought everybody's just going to buy the cough medicine horse and urination story. And so instead, today he's like, well, actually, we did find out there was this cream. I didn't even think about it. Since the Santa Anita Derby.
I didn't even think
Derby.
About that one cream he had been getting. Like, you pay attention to everything that goes on with these horses, don't you?
I love that the final sentence is what's fantastic in the statement.
And his statement?
From Bob Baffert. Quote, as such, I wanted to be forthright about this fact as soon as I learned of this information. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Four days now removed from the Kentucky Derby. And after going on a media tour claiming you were being sabotaged and everything. You want to be forthright with everybody.
He's making it worse.
Oh, so much worse.
Just double down on it. Double down on the cheating. It's fine.
He did double down yesterday. And
essentially.
And then today he's kind of laid off like, oh, he found out that story wasn't going to fly, I think is what happened. And then he's like, well.
Did he just not realize the horse was getting an ointment? Like, isn't he the trainer?
What's the horse have to say about this? That's the only
thing we
haven't
heard
of.
That was my favorite part about yesterday is he was talking about it like the horse was going to be disappointed that his reputation was tarnished. He was like, he doesn't deserve to be talked about like this. Should be in the hallowed ground. And you're like, it's a horse, man. He doesn't care. Yeah. You want to get rich.
I mean, technically,
and then he gets to stud out if... you know, things work out.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing, like, when we talk like performance-enhancing drugs, we know it's in sports, period. Like, no matter what the sport, it exists. It's no, I mean, whether it's baseball, whatever, it's football, doesn't matter.
There is no sport in which someone will not try to cheat.
And whether it's with people, human beings, or with animals, it happens. The difference is, if Alex Rodriguez chooses to take PEDs or Barry Bonds, they made that decision on their own. Nobody forced them to do it.
The horse didn't say, give me some juice.
The horse doesn't have any say. So therefore, you could argue it's animal abuse. I would argue that. Because it's not Medina Spirit didn't give him the head nod. Like,
and it's also this.
Medina Spirit didn't say, we're good to go. Yeah, sure. Go ahead and juice me up. I'm ready to go make some money for you. That's not how it worked. He didn't respond. That wasn't the response back. Was that a yes?
I don't speak horse. Oh, man. I just don't. I don't understand. Oh, he looks so stupid. Why wouldn't you? Like, I'm serious. Why wouldn't you just wait until you knew? Like, why wouldn't you just wait until you... like, accusing sabotage when, like, you didn't even wait to find out that your horse was getting some ointment feels like going way too far. I did, like, 8 public interviews yesterday. He was on the Dan Patrick Show. He was on ESPN Radio. He was on TV everywhere. He was out here saying he's being defamed and defrauded and bamboozled. The guy, like, and it's fine. I guess he gave his horse some Neosporin, and that maybe made him test positive.
Who knows,
for
man.
Whatever.
It's unbelievable. I agree with our guy Ross Tucker, who joins us during the football season normally, and he's like, if there was a horse, a movie about this and the horse, Bob Baffert, anybody that's seen his photo, that's exactly what you would think the trainer that's suspect that's cheating would look like. I mean, he looks exactly like the trainer that you would think was drugging the horses.
Yes. And also, by the way, that's not the first horse he's had do this. This is the same thing I would say to anybody. Like, you know, like anytime like somebody says it was contaminated meat or whatever when they test positive for PEDs. And yesterday, Baffert was trying to claim it was contaminated pea hay or whatever.
That's an all-timer, like, by the way.
That's a classic. But if you're going to go like that route, you better do just even a tiny bit of research to make sure you're good there. Because Baffert's now gonna release an entire I'm sorry story.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the day brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. We go to Houston. Apparently there's a new Tiger King. There's a man that was spotted with a tiger in Houston, in a neighborhood, a very nice neighborhood, I must add. In the Houston area. This was a very, very nice Houston area. And there was video that got released yesterday of this Bengal tiger in the middle of the neighborhood. And there's like an off-duty sheriff's deputy on video pointing his gun at the tiger to try to get while everybody else is hopefully getting out of the way. I mean, it's the middle, imagine the middle of your neighborhood. A full
just a
Bengal
full-blown tiger.
Tiger. It turns out there was an owner of the tiger that was roaming around Houston neighborhood looking for the tiger. Somehow the tiger had gotten out. And there's a photo of a gentleman. Apparently he drove off before the active duty or on duty police arrived. And so there was like a little bit of a manhunt, if you will, for this guy to figure out like who owned the tiger. So that's crazy
and how
enough.
Why he owns he's the tiger, the, he, how the tiger got out.
We couldn't go more than, I don't know, 13 months without a tiger type of story, apparently, as we all know from Tiger King. And then it gets crazier. It turns out, Cody, the guy with the tiger, he's out on bond for murder.
So he what, got a tiger?
I don't know if he had the tiger before, but the man that was spotted with the tiger in Houston is out on bond for murder. And now there's like I don't know if they've arrested the guy, but they put out a mugshot of him and everything. He was out on $250,000 bond on a murder charge filed back in November. He was leasing the home. He's also believed to have had two monkeys inside. The animals are not illegal in Houston city limits if they're under 30 pounds.
Whoa. So you could just straight up own a Bengal tiger
monkeys,
in Houston?
Monkeys.
Oh, the monkeys. You can't own a tiger.
Well, because it's over 30 pounds. Okay. Spoiler alert. Bengal tiger over 30 pounds.
Maybe it was a baby Bengal tiger. No, this thing see, was now full, that's
this
full,
thing was
tiger.
Full grown.
Was he just trying to like pay for his lawyer in the illegal animal trade department? If you had to, we play this game sometimes when we get like drunk with friends. If you had to get a tiger,
uh-huh.
How long would you need to get it? Like, I think I need like a month to probably source a tiger.
Like, you know, they made it on Tiger King. Yeah. They made it seem like it's super easy.
What do
you mean
2 weeks?
I can get a tiger
own
in 2 weeks.
A tiger in 2 weeks?
Do you have to have some type of like wild animal license?
No. I'm saying like you could illegally obtain it. But if I needed to illegally obtain a tiger, I could own today.
Yeah, give me 2 weeks.
I'm driving
two
out.
2 weeks?
I'm driving out to Oklahoma.
So you're thinking you can get it done in a couple of days?
Yeah, it's
so
a couple
of days. So
this
is Name That Tune. You're saying I'll take 2 days and under?
Yeah, I mean someone else is going to someone else is going to have to pick it up and transport it. I'm not messing with that.
But you think you can make enough phone calls to get a tiger to your house in a couple of days?
Yeah. Money. If you have
money's not
a problem, then you can make a lot of things happen.
How much do you think it would take you to bribe someone at the zoo to give you one of their tigers?
Well, that's not the route to go. You can't go. You're not having any luck if you go to the KC Zoo. I'm talking about you got to go to those wild, the Tiger King place down in Oklahoma. Whoever's running it now. Or the tiger lady down in Florida. Creepy. What's her name? Oh, my goodness.
So you think we could do this like in a couple of days? I could just own a tiger?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to recommend not doing that. Was that near the neighborhood you used to live in Houston, where that tiger was?
That's a very nice neighborhood, so no, that's not where I lived. Very nice houses. Have you seen the photo? Those are, especially in Houston, those houses might be over $1 million houses in some areas.
Looks like a pretty nice house, yeah.
And it's in Houston in the city limits. Yeah, it's expensive.
My God, my kid's just like riding its bike outside. There's a tiger.
Yeah, what would you do if truly
run inside with my children?
If there was a tiger just casually strolling down the street and you're just in your front yard chilling having a beer and there's a tiger.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
I'm going inside. Like
you're not snapping a photo first?
No, I'm going.
You're not getting a little video first?
I will snap.
You're not going to pet the tiger?
I will snap a photo from the inside. There's no way I'm messing with a tiger. My brother, this is a true story.
I kind of want to pet one.
My brother, well, you can go down in the Tiger King thing. I still can't believe that girl in that documentary who worked there after her arm got ripped off. She's like, well, I'm still working. I'm like, damn, can't you find other work where you didn't have
not
an
now.
Arm eaten off?
Not now. Not the arm's gone.
Yeah.
Man, Someone said there's a tiger reservation outside Lewisburg, Kansas.
Oh, man, I might be able to get a tiger this afternoon.
I don't think you're getting the tiger. You can visit.
I sent Lewisburg
said
on Saturday.
The dude who runs the tiger place in Lewisburg.
Get some cider?
Thinking
of Fesco, he's going to join us in 10 minutes.
Illegally sell me a tiger for $1 million. There's just no question. There's an amount of money, if money was no object, that you could do it. If money was an object, I got to really source some stuff in order to get this tiger. But for real, my brother once, in his neighborhood here, found a gun in the middle of the street. What? It turns out,
loaded?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
It turns out it was an officer's who had dropped it.
Oh, no.
Because he picked it up. So, you know, like some neighborhood kid wouldn't find a loaded gun.
Well, yeah.
And so then they,
what
you
do
know,
you that? What do you call 911? Like, excuse me.
There's a gun in the middle of the road, and I don't know if anyone cares about that.
Oh, yeah. Carol Baskin. Thank you, text line. That's
Carol Baskin.
There's someone convinced on the text line they can have a tiger to their house in 72 hours.
72? Like, we're getting lower on Name That Tune. I really like that. Now that I learned about this Lewisburg thing, I think I'm like under 60. I think I could make this work if someone just gave me an infinite amount of money.
I kind of want to go to this place in Lewisburg.
How much does a tiger cost? 10 grand?
I don't know.
Like normally? Yeah, probably, right? Like how much for a Bengal tiger? It's got to be
Do you
like,
think the business at the Cedar Cove, Lewisburg, Kansas, Feline Conservatory and Education Center, you think their business has gone up drastically because of Tiger King last year?
Maybe. Look, the current Oh, for a pet. That's for a pet.
Really, so what we're talking about right now is that I'm going to get this insurance money for my car being totaled, and we're going to buy a Tiger.
That's right.
They're not as expensive
as
you think.
Exactly what needs to happen. What, you're not, you think they're a bargain?
Did you
not watch Tiger King and how much it costs to feed them?
I did not say a bargain, but you can get a Tiger Cub for about $7,500, like a used car.
Oh, yeah. You gotta ride the Tiger to work?
Like the price for a used car.
I might
car.
Have some cash coming soon.
I don't know if that's like the big kind of Tiger.
If I pay for the Tiger, you gotta pay to feed it, though.
What? That's probably more than the Tiger.
Long term, maybe. We're going to need a lot of money from Top Shot, which, by the way, we have 3 Top Shot packs to open up.
I'm not feeling good about it, though, man. I've checked the market. It's not looking good.
It's not.
We need to get a Zion.
3 rare packs. And this is the first pack that we bought where there's actually risk involved. There's no guaranteed profit anymore on these. There's a chance we could lose some money. We're going to find out. We're going to open that up in the 1 o'clock hour today. It looks like you can do public, weekend, and private weekday tours for about an hour and a half at this sanctuary in Lewisburg. I kind of want to go.
Witt told us about a drive-thru zoo in Arkansas. We can go to that, too.
It's only $18. There's no way that place is safe.
There's no way that guy would not give me a Tiger for $10,000.
What do you mean it's not safe? It's.
There's no way that
You're
place is safe.
You're valuing its safety based on how cheap it is?
It's a sanctuary. It's
if
not
there was
like
a real-life Jurassic Park and they're like, it's $18 again, and you're like, well, this is no good. Like, I'm definitely going to get eaten by those dinosaurs.
It's not the same as what was in Oklahoma where you're able to pet them. I don't believe that's part of the equation here. I think it's just like...
Just a zoo for looking at them?
A zoo for looking at them is probably a good way.
Okay.
We can go off to the show if you want. Tours every half hour on the Saturdays, beginning at 10 o'clock. We're doing the Cody and Gold road trip. Can that be another edition? Let's do a
Cody and Gold road trip. There's a drive-thru zoo down there. You want to do
Cody in Arkansas?
Yes. I asked him any other place to go besides there. He said there's a drive-thru zoo. So, he went with his wife.
So what, the animal,
you
like,
can, like,
the giraffe
feed the goat
sticks
out the
its
window.
Head through the window?
Oh. You can, like, feed a goat out the window.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, I kind of want to go to this thing. We'll see. Cody and Gold road trip might have to involve tigers or... Do they have tigers at the drive-thru one?
I don't know.
Do we know?
They sell me one. That's really the next question.
Coming up next, it's the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get to the forum. Fesco stops by.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2. 610 Sports Radio.